In a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Join us now for the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church and hosted by Pastor Greg Huffman, as he shares the truth for the day.
Hi, this is Pastor John, and we're continuing in our series, Tongue Twister. We started with James chapter 3, 1, which was really focusing on teachers within the church. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. But when James turns from verse 1 to verse 2, he's going to change his focus, spotlighting on teachers, to the rest of us. So if you're not a teacher, this applies to you as well. Now he says in verse 2, for we all stumble in many things. And then he says, if anyone does not stumble in word, then he or she is a perfect man. And the implication is, not only are they perfect, but they're able to bridle, control their whole body. Now, being a perfect person doesn't mean that you're without sin. But what it does mean is that you are being obedient to God's word. You're under control. You're not stumbling and sinning. And this stumbling has to do with sin. But it's not the kind of sin that disqualifies you in any way, but it's just sin. In fact, James 2:10 used the same word in this verse where he says, whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he's guilty of all. So James wants us to focus now on how we talk. And he recognizes, and I think you and I recognize, that we do, each of us, stumble in many ways. And we desire to not stumble in word. We don't really want to hurt people, but we do sometimes. And so James gives us three examples in the text of something small but very powerful. The small bit that controls the powerful horse. The small spark that sets off the large forest fire, the powerful forest fire. And the small rudder that controls the powerful ship. Now this first one, the horse, is an illustration from nature. Indeed, we put bits into horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. You know, the scriptures talk a lot about horses. Psalm 27, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of our Lord. Psalm 32:9, do not be like the horse or like the mule who has no understanding, which must be harnessed with bit and bridle, else they will not come near you. I think that may have informed James on this passage. Psalm 33:17, a horse is a vain hope for safety, neither shall it deliver any by its great strength. Psalm 147:10, he does not delight in the strength of the horse, he takes no pleasure in the legs of man. But I think the most amazing picture is Revelation 19, verse 11 and following. Now I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that which he would strike the nations. And he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Now this is Christ coming back to rule and reign from Jerusalem for 1,000 years, called the Millennial Kingdom. But this illustration of horses shows us that horses are powerful. The scripture shows us, though, that sometimes they can be disobedient animals. But the bit is a very important part of the horse's bridle. It goes into the mouth, and it's connected with a variety of other parts that goes around the horse's head, including connecting to the reins. And this bit goes into the mouth, and it turns out the way the horse's mouth is designed, it can create some pain and stimulus. And a trained rider using the reins and the proper bits can control this 500-pound beast. And so what's James' point? We need a bit in our mouth, right? At times, we need to have this kind of self-control like a trained rider. Now, what I find fascinating in our day and age, they now have something that never really exists in history, a bitless bridle. Now, when you get this bitless bridle and actually read the instructions on the box, it says, warning, you may lose control. Warning, rider safety issues. Kind of fascinating that in the real world, bitless bridles, well, guess what? You're going to lose some control and you may get hurt in the process. And look how society is today. The way people are unrestrained in what they say, in the lies and slander that they spread. James 3:3 reminds us that if we put bits in the horses' mouths, we can control their body. Do you have a metaphorical bit in your mouth that can give you the self-control you need in the moment where you would lash out instead with words? Are you under the control of the Spirit? Because He's given that Spirit to us so that when we use our tongue, it is to build up, not tear down. This is needed in the church so badly, and this is needed in the world so badly. Now, the next illustration that James gives us, another small but powerful illustration, is the rudder and ship. Verse 4. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce, harsh winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Now, this illustration speaks of navigation. Very important. Now, I don't want you to miss how this illustration is a little bit different than the previous one. Because there's this idea of how they're driven by fierce, harsh winds. And I tell you what, that really speaks well of the external situations that arise in our life that can cause us to stumble with our tongues. Like a ship adrift in a storm, lightning and wind. Boy, oh boy, you need to have a seasoned pilot navigating those troubled waters. And so it is in life with our tongue. As we navigate the waters of life and we have all these external pressures upon us, it's so easy to slander, put down, gossip, lie, fill in the blank. We need to be under the control of the Spirit. Jude 15, listen to this. Jude chapter 1, verse 15. To execute judgment upon all and to convict all the ungodly of all their ungodly deeds, which they have done in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against Jesus. This is the most ungodly verse in the Bible. But did you catch that last part of all the harsh things? See, this is what false teachers look like. This is what unbelievers look like. This is not how believers are to look like. Be careful how we use our tongue and be alert to the circumstances and environment you're in. If you sense the fierce winds, grab hold of prayer. Make sure you're under the Spirit's power. Pause, pray, and then proceed to speak. Speak with grace, season with salt. Speak to build up and not tear down. We so need that in our relationships. You know, there's a saying out there, I'm sure you've heard it, familiarity breeds contempt. You know, I've seen, I think it was a particular movie where in the movie they were talking about friendships and family. And one of the guys says, we are family. And the outsider says, all you do is fight. He says, that's what family does. Now, that's sad but true. But the point I want to make here is that we've got to guard against that. It's true in a family. Tensions can rise. We can lower the filter and say things that we shouldn't be saying. The truth is, in the most intimate of relationships, we should be especially on guard, especially alert, especially careful with the tongue, because those are the most special relationships. And therefore, they deserve greater honor and greater respect. But we get comfortable in our relationships, and we begin to say things without a thought. You know, there's expressions shooting off your mouth. Jonathan Swift said, the artillery of words. Pilgrim's Progress said this, Pray, who are you, kindred there, if I may be so bold? Baiens responds, almost the whole town, and in particular, my lord Turnabout, my lord Timeserver, my lord Fair Speech, from whose ancestors that town first took its name. Also, Mr. Smoothman, Mr. Facing Both Ways, Mr. Anything, and the parson of our parish. Mr. Two Tongues was my mother's own brother by father's side. And to tell you the truth, I'd become a gentleman of good quality, yet my great-grandfather was but a waterman, looking one way and rowing another. And I got most of my estate by the same occupation. Now, this is some clever allegorical writing by John Bunyan, but he really cleverly shows us all the different nuances and type of speech we can have. Mr. Two Tongues, Facing Both Ways, and Smooth Man. Are your words genuine, truthful, accurate, precise? There's some pretty harsh figures of speech in the Bible. Job 5:21, you shall be hidden from the scourge or whip of the tongue, and you shall not be afraid of destruction when it comes. Psalm 73:9, they set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walks through the earth. Isaiah 30, verse 27, behold, the name of the Lord comes from afar, burning with his anger, and his burden is heavy. His lips are full of indignation, and his tongue like a devouring fire. Jeremiah 9:3, and like their bow, they have bent their tongues for lies. They are not valiant for the truth on the earth, for they proceed from evil to evil, and they do not know me, says the Lord. And Romans 3:13, their throat is an open tomb. With their tongues they have practiced deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips. The scriptures paint a dark picture of the harshness and meanness, the vindictiveness of the tongue. There's other figures of speech we have in society. The teachers gave Jeremy a tongue lashing when arrived late for school. Here's another one from Charles Macklin, whose tongue, like the dart of death, spares neither sex nor age. His tongue, like the tail of Samson's foxes, carries firebrands and is enough to set the whole field of the world on a flame. Your tongue is like a scarlet snake that dances to fantastic tunes. The heart's attorney. I love this from Shakespeare. The heart's attorney. We are so quick to defend ourselves. And we will say just about anything, twisting the words, the context, to win our case. Washington Irving said this, a sharp tongue is the only edged tool that grows keener with constant use. Madam Necker, woman's tongue is her sword, which she never lets rust. And lastly, from the Taming of the Shrew by Shakespeare, my tongue will tell the anger of my heart, or else my heart concealing it will break. I leave you with these thoughts, these illustrations, these examples to meditate upon, that little member, the tongue in your body, can build up or tear down. So my prayer for you today is seek to use your tongue to build up, to say things that are gracious. Can you do that in the power of the Spirit? That should be our way of life, not the exception to our life. Till next time, beware the use of your tongue.
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. If you would like a copy of today's program, have a question we can answer, please contact us at The Word for Life, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more info about The Word for Life, to make a donation to help us continue this broadcast, as well as other resources for your Christian walk, visit us at www.thewordforlife.org. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again next time as we bring the Word of God to your life.